The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander, and it's Kelly Bidlin, everybody, producer number nine, so much more than a producer, live from the barrage here at Bar Canada at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Lovely downtown Las Vegas. You good?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just the Grinch. So much more of the producer. I'm just the Grinch.
Yeah, you didn't really know this was going to happen, but that's who you've become.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Would you like to give an update on that matter we were talking about earlier? Or would you like not to give an update?
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all.
Just curious. Just thought I'd ask. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not sure if this gentleman wants you to know about his surgical procedures, but we've just brought it up now anyway. So we welcome a guy who wouldn't even show up for his own podcast this week, but will come on our show willingly. It's Chris Felica, the Bear from Fox Sports. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing okay. A little better every day. Yesterday was not I was in no condition to be able to host like a 2.5-3 hours worth of podcasts.
Would you like to explain to people what surgery you had, by the way?
Yeah, no, I just had the normal everyday run of the mill left shoulder replacement. So I was told by my surgeon that I had a nice big arthritic shoulder. So I have that going for me, which was kind of nice. But yeah, I had it done a week ago today, and let me tell you, Sunday and Monday were not fun. Once that nerve block that they give you during the surgery ends, and it kind of wears off, and you start feeling some things that takes you to some very pain-filled places. But we're over that right now. It's been better the last couple of days, and hopefully the worst is over. I'm not going to be out there like Yamamoto making 400 mil on a contract, throwing complete games every now and then. Yeah. But if I could swing a golf club at some point this spring, that would make me very happy.
Yeah, you beat me to the joke. You're going to have the split-fingered fastball going any day now. The old slider will be in effect. Okay, well, I hope you feel better. We wish you a speedy recovery. I know a shoulder replacement can't be the easiest thing in the world. There is college football, though. Here's the nice thing about shoulder surgery. You get to say to your wife, hey, I'm just going to watch football all weekend. How about that, you know, while I recover?
Yeah, she, my wife has been exposed to more La Liga soccer over the last couple of days than I think she ever would have envisioned herself being accustomed to. Like, I had on a Cadiz Real Sociedad match the other day, and she's like, are these teams any good? And I'm like, the one team isn't, but the one team actually is. She's like, but they haven't scored. I go, that's a good thing, because that's the bet that I have that the one team wouldn't score.
Are these teams any good? I love that. It's a very insightful question, actually.
It is.
Yeah. So, by the way, Premier League, do you have a futures bet in the Premier League, or would you recommend one now?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I have. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Like, I played Liverpool way back. I got them like +700, +750. Back when, because I kind of thought that this would be the year that, like, City, just the accumulation of all the games and all of the soccer that they played, the injuries that they've had, and we've seen them now. I mean, that was unfathomable what happened last week. You're up 2-0 in like the 75th minute, I think it was, against Crystal Palace at home, and you blow it. I mean, it's a draw, and like, that's incomprehensible. To see what's been going on with City, but I still think it's going to be Arsenal or Liverpool. I think the way the fixtures shake down, Liverpool have the advantage fixture-wise. And you think about it as a Liverpool supporter like I am, they've been without Andy Robertson, who's their left back. They'll be getting him back soon. Thiago hopefully will come. But they've had some guys who have been out that they should be getting reinforcements back here at some point. Which you don't, and that's it's a massive game tomorrow at Anfield between Arsenal and Liverpool. Normally in games like that, you know me, I'm more of an under player, but I don't think that's in Arsenal's DNA to not try and go on the road there and score. It does kind of feel like a both teams to score kind of game tomorrow between Liverpool and Arsenal. So it's probably. Pretty high. It's probably around 180 or so, because I think most people would expect that. But I would anticipate both teams to score kind of a match like that tomorrow.
All right, bowl season marches on, though the word marches seems a little aggressive for what we've seen. Nice of Syracuse to show up for their bowl game yesterday, getting beat.
The tight end playing quarterback wasn't exactly the best move you could possibly make.
A 45-0 loss to South Florida yesterday. We have one game today, bowl season, then we got seven tomorrow. But the one game today, I'm curious if you have any play on the game today between Georgia Tech and UCF, anything with the UCF favored by 6 here?
It feels a little high. I mean, Georgia Tech's one of those teams that I think when you look at bowl season, I like to bet on team. Again, we've talked about the whole amateur psychology of handicapping who's going to be invested, who's not going to be invested. But, I mean, Georgia Tech was not a team that was thought to be good this year at all. And they surprised that people pulled a couple of massive upsets. And they're in this game. I think the makeup of this team and the makeup of the coaching staff, I think 6 does feel a little high. So if you're looking to play this, I would take a look at playing play Georgia Tech plus the 6. And then the other thing, which I've mentioned on the podcast, and I might even have mentioned it on this show a couple of times as well. Like if you go back over, I think it's over the last 12, 14 years now. If you just look at the single digit underdogs, it's 30-something percent of single-digit underdogs win outright, or cover rather, but it's of the ones that 78% of the underdogs that cover, single-digit underdogs that cover, wind up winning outright. So you're probably well worth to put a little bit on the money line as well on these single-digit underdogs.
What about tomorrow? 7 games. What's your favorite of the bunch?
I don't know if, again, I don't have the schedule in front of me. I haven't been looking. I've been barely be able to stay awake, but the couple of games that I do like, and I think a couple of these are within the next couple of days. I do like Northwestern getting the points, 6.5, I think it is, against Utah. Utah is usually a team under Whittingham that everybody is looking to back in bowl season. But you just wonder, you go to the Rose Bowl 2 years in a row, you win the Pac-12, and now you had a bunch of injuries. Are you truly going to be excited about now? You're laying points against Northwestern team that you had the coach of the year in the Big Ten. Northwestern wasn't expected to be very good. They had the coaching issues with Pat Fitz in the offseason. The team rallied, got bowl eligible. Northwestern is the type of team that I would like to play in bowl season. I'll play Northwestern on the money line as well. And then I took James Madison as well against Air Force. I wonder about the Larrier injury. Air Force was a team that just completely fell apart down the stretch. And again, James Madison, it's not the bowl game that I think they thought that they could be in. But I know they got the makeshift coaching staff. But my understanding, the guys that are kind of there to coach, they kind of just brought in because they know how to stop the option. So I think that will probably bode well for them. So I did play JMU as well.
Okay. That's interesting because the whole college football bowl 101 about not fading, a team that's running the triple option, that doesn't dissuade you here.
No. I think JMU faces, having been an FCS team for a while, I think they faced maybe an option and more run-based offenses a little bit more. But if what I'm hearing is right, that the coaching staff that they have is just kind of is familiar with the option, and they're kind of there just to kind of shut that down. And again, I just wonder about Air Force in this game having, lost 4 straight down the stretch, and they could have been in the New Year's 6, and here they are facing JMU in a bowl game now.
All right, we got a bunch of games next week before we talk to you again, and I'll just cherry pick one. Let's start with your alma mater. Pardon me. I don't know why I got where that came from.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good little northeastern accent. I like that.
Alma mater. What was that? Dick Mata, by the way. What a coach he was in the NBA. Miami, your Hurricanes, 1.5-point favorites against Sunj. Copyright Chris Velika.
Well, I already took Sunj plus 3 at the open. So, I mean, I still would take Rutgers here, though. I mean, this is a Miami team that, I don't know what they're doing at the quarterback position. They've lost so many key players on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball. They got one of the teams with a bunch of people in the portal. And, yes, they had an unbelievable national signing day the other day, but it's not like these kids are going to be able to play come Saturday. I think this is a Rutgers team again, getting back to a bowl with Schiano. An opportunity. He and Mario Cristobal go way back, both being former Miami assistants and kind of offensive line background. So I think Rutgers is the right play here. Under is probably a good way to look at it as well. I just don't know how many points Miami with whatever they're going to do at the quarterback position without their best weapons at wide receiver and without their best running backs. I just don't know how many points Miami will be able to score. So like I said, I took Rutgers plus 3, and I know I'm probably going to get yelled at for some people as well, but I would still take Rutgers plus 1.5.
All right, I'm going to mention some matchups. Again, this man just had shoulder surgery, so he doesn't know the schedule. So I'm going to go through games.
You stop me when you
have a thought. Kansas UNLV, VaTech Tulane, Carolina West Virginia, Louisville.
Well, Carolina.
There we go.
Carolina West Virginia is the game that we had talked about as well, like wanting to get ahead of that, and that number touched 6.5. So hopefully people were able to lay the 3, 3.5 with West Virginia, because at least if nothing else now, we did get the best of the number and might be able to play around with that some.
I listened to Chris Felica and laid 3 on that game.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Kelly.
There you go. All right. Chris, listen, get better. I know it's probably a longer haul than you'd like, because shoulder surgery and shoulder replacement is serious. But, man, we love you for coming on, and Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, man.
Same to you guys. Appreciate you.
Chris Felica, everybody. F-A-L-L-I-C-A on the Twitter machine. Fox Sports. The Bear Bets podcast, college and pro football versions, comes out Thursdays and Fridays weekly from Chris himself. We're coming back. Dr. Bob joins us. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to check out VSiN's betting splits?
Split bets.
There we go. But don't have a VSiN Pro subscription yet. You better hurry. Today's the final day. We're giving everyone access to the betting splits for free. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Get free access to VSiN's betting splits all this week at VSiN.com/splits. That's VSIN.com/splits. We get tweets at Beating the Book, Bruce Dobing, and everybody wants to talk Christmas, Kelly. Bruce Dobing says Bumpus Dogs. That's his favorite Christmas movie. I rest my case. Is that Bumpus Dogs or Bumpus Hounds?
I don't know. I don't know that one.
Jason H. 11. Kelly, Christmas is about others, not yourself. Wah. I drank a gallon of eggnog and got no credit. Wah. I love it. Prime time. I'm sorry. Am I crazy, but am I the only one who finds Kelly's grinchiness this time of year a refreshing contrarian type take? Would love to see Matt Eumanns and Kelly share a McRib while singing Wham's Last Christmas. Gold, Gilly. Gold.
Hey, man. Throw a bottle of whiskey. I think that works for me and Matt Eumanns. We'll enjoy that very much.
That's great. Sean Higgs. Hey, what's up, Sean? What if I was to tell you to have a Merry Christmas? Would that be something that might interest you? That, of course, a Entourage reference. Have a good one, fellas. Also, a great sweater from Matt Brown. Ovaltine for all under the tree. Oh, you better drink your Ovaltine, kids. You don't remember that for that movie, Christmas Story?
I haven't seen it in 20 years.
Oh, it's a classic.
Not arguing that.
Chance Copperpot, all this silly talk about the best Christmas movies has always been Santa with Muscles starring Hulk Hogan. I kid. Scrooged does deserve honorable mention, though, he says.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Grant at Betting X Factors. He says, catching up on the show, I'm less impressed with the rookie stats being broken with the extra game in the NFL season now. Still very impressive, but just feel bad for the guys losing their records not on even terms. Grant, that's not exactly true. Jalen Waddle's receptions record was done in 17 games. Puka has a chance to actually beat it in the 16th. But he will not do it in fewer. He will not do it in more games than Jalen Waddle in receptions. And as far as the receiving yards record is concerned, that was in 1960 when they played 14 games. So nothing he can do about that.
Yeah, to your point about them like not bringing it up on the broadcast,
totally
really,
amateur.
It was odd to me, and I did at first have that same kind of thought. Like I don't like. Do they not want to talk about this because
it's
this is
very odd
a games thing? Like. None of it made sense. I mean, none of it made sense, but I understand at least where he's coming from with the tweet.
Right, but it's just not factually correct. Yeah. Yeah. Primetime also adds about you and humans. He said a little wham in the background, I think, would complete the scene. Perhaps a Matt serenading the McRib to that song would make a great holiday video. And then Johnny Ringo, these Niners bets are giving me deja vu to the Braves division bets of two seasons ago. Yes, indeed, Johnny Ringo, that's it. And Kevin Ryan, Gil, if you think the Niners are head and shoulders above everyone else, and I do, are you betting the NFC at minus 125 to win the Super Bowl? Even Fez recommended it last week. Sure looks good to me. It's a good way of playing it if you want to attack it that way. Yes, the NFC at that low number is nice. That's one way to play it. For those who don't want to play, you know, Niners futures, that's one way to attack it. I choose to do it by the exacta route, where I'm getting double digits, you know, double digit to one odds on the Niners beating Ravens. I've done it with three teams now. Ravens, Bills, Chiefs. Bills being the longest shot of the bunch. I don't think I'm going to extend it beyond those three. I don't. If it gets to be the Dolphins, then I'll get beat. But I'm going to keep it to those three. That's how I choose to play.
Yeah, I've done a couple of the same. Little breaking news coming down. Florida State is suing the ACC for its grant of right access.
There you go. They never wanted to be in the ACC anyway. They were always complaining about the ACC.
I love it.
What is the
light
what is
it
the,
all on
What
fire.
Is the nature of the lawsuit? What is the
this is for their for the it's over the amount of money they need to leave the conference, basically.
I see. Yeah. They were not
which was always an issue before the whole college
That's
football
right.
playoff.
Well
this
before
is not connected.
That. Dr. Bob joins us, ladies and gentlemen. He's a pioneer in predicting the outcomes of sporting events. He is my buddy Bob Stoll. You can follow him on Twitter at drbobsports and drbobsports.com. Bob, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, sir.
Why, thank you, sir. A Christmas Story, is that the one with the blonde kid with glasses?
Yes, Peter Billingsley.
Yeah, I met that guy. He was an adult, and I didn't know who he was. I'd never seen the movie, but I was playing poker at the old Hard Rock Hotel Casino back in the day.
Oh, who could forget?
And Vince Vaughn was at the table. And Vince Vaughn apparently is a buddy of his.
Yes.
So people recognize Vince Vaughn, but they're also like, hey, I know, you know, and they're like, he's getting attention. Like, who is this guy? And then I found out.
Awesome. Peter Billingsley, I believe, became a big-time Hollywood producer of sorts.
Maybe he produced something that Vince Vaughn was in because those two were hanging out playing. That was a fun table.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
He's a very funny guy. We had a lot of back and forth, little jabs at each other, and he appreciated that. And we had this couple from Queens, New York, who was busting chops. It was a good time.
And there was nothing like the old Hard Rock, that's for sure. The old Hard Rock.
That's right. The old circular bar. After we were done playing, like he was gone, and I came circling around. He's like, Bob, get over here, girls, Bob, girls. I was like. This is sweet. This is when Vince Vaughn was skinny, right? And they had girls just surrounding him. It was fantastic.
Bob, girls,
Bob. Oh, that's fantastic. Vince Vaughn's best movie ever, Rudy. I just love his small part in Rudy.
Rudy?
Yeah, he's the upset quarterback about Rudy trying too hard.
Gotta be swingers, though, right? Gotta be swingers.
Apparently, Jon Favreau
Come
is also connected
on.
With
swingers
the trio.
Is, yeah. Swingers is so money.
So money. That movie was so money. All right, Bob, you got a college football play for us. Girls, Bob, girls. What do you got here?
Hey, Bob, tonight I like a lot of points in the Boca Gasparilla Bowl, Central Florida and Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech did not make it to the bowl game based on their defense. Their offense, though, is very good. 6.3 yards per play, pretty dang good in an ACC schedule. And UCF's got a better-than-average defense, but the Knights' best defensive back, Corey Thornton, transferred. He's valuable. I mean, Thornton accounted for 25% of the Knights' passes defended this season. He's worth 1.4 points, according to my algorithm, which tends to be pretty accurate. And I think Georgia Tech is going to score a lot of UCF plays at a high pace. Georgia Tech doesn't mind a little pace. I have 450 yards at 6.6 yards per play for the Yellow Jackets. That probably won't be enough because UCF's offense averaged 7.2 yards per play this year. They were 1.4 yards per play better than an average team after, you know, counting for the defenses. The Yellow Jackets, I said they got there not because of their defense, half a yard per play worse than an average defense this year. And they're without their best defensive player, edge rusher Kyle Kennard, has transferred to South Carolina. He had 6 sacks and 11 total tackles for loss. That's not extraordinary, you know, necessarily, but there's no one on the Yellow Jackets that can replace that. The next best player on the defense only had 2 sacks and 8 total tackles for loss. So losing a guy that had 6 sacks on a team when no one else had more than 2 is an issue. So he's worth 1.5 points also to an already bad defense. So I have UCF. Yeah, they might get 600 total yards. I have them 583 total yards and 8 yards a play. Not too far-fetched. I mentioned they averaged 7.2 yards per play for the season, and the Yellow Jackets without Kennard are 0.7 yards per play, worse than the average defense that UCF faced. So 8.0, not out of the question, and it should be pretty good weather tonight. I have it 40-33, a shootout.
Ooh.
I played it over 64.5 last week, still 67. That was a 2-unit play when I released it to clients, but I still half a unit on the over 67 tonight.
Over 67.
That's a way to start your Christmas weekend.
There you go.
And over 67.5 Friday night.
Little afternoon action today in our time zone, yep. But a little evening action on the East Coast. Let me ask you just real quick about the NFL before you go, Bob. Do you have the Niners rated spectacularly higher than everybody else?
I have their offense rated spectacularly higher than everybody else. The defense comes up a little bit shy of what the market thinks it should be. But the offense is, it's really good. You know, we have the model and there's only certain things that the model can track, but we also adjust for the fact that Shanahan has historically been about 3 points better than what the model would project. So just his scheming, his play calling, whatever. So we add that on because that's historic. That goes back to 2017 since he's been there. He's always outperformed the metrics as far as what the Niners actually score. You add that in. They're just scoring at will right now. There's just people running wide open everywhere. So it's just incredible to see. Obviously, we're going to get a test this week against Baltimore's defense. But
you think that number is pretty accurate, you think, in that game?
I think the side is – I'd slightly lean with the Niners here probably. I'd probably make it around 6. You know, it's 5.5. I don't think there's a ton of value just because I think the Niners' defense is a little bit overrated according to the metrics. It'll be interesting. It's a great game. I mean, man, what a great game late in the season.
Absolutely.
But yeah, they're the best team.
Bob Stoll, everybody. Well, you reminded me of the old days of the Hard Rock, just how magical that place was. It was just incredible.
He brought it all together for the first segment of the show.
Bob, happy holidays, man. Enjoy.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
My best to the family. We'll come back. Jason Weingarten, he was in attendance last night, and so too was Shohei Ohtani. Did the two meet? That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All I want for the holidays this year is some NBA action. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from JD. Just got in on the Niners to beat the Bills exacta. Let's go, baby. This from Juxtine. He said, do you guys think there's anything, not just asking me, but also Crack and Cleave and Shine, do you guys think there's anything to home teams playing on Christmas/Thanksgiving being a bit more distracted and not as focused as they should be, whereas the road team is away from it all? Jockstein, it's Jay Coxstein. This is, different name. Thing or not a thing? I think it's one of those things that we have confirmation bias on when it happens, right?
Yeah.
I think when the home team performs poorly, then we say, oh, they must have been distracted. But I don't think it's a thing, and I think if you actually went into a database and actually looked, you'd find that it's not a thing.
See, it's funny because I think I have a similar response but different. I'm going to say thing, but I can't quantify it for you whatsoever.
Yeah. Buddhist man, Matt Brown's sweater proves one thing for certain, that Kelly, unlike the leg lamp, is obviously not Italian.
But I think factual.
I believe Italian was pronounced differently. Matthew Mayberry. Oh, my God. Bidlin and Human should 100% have a show together. I don't know what the hell to call it, but it'd be a great watch. Angriest guy in Kentucky. Don't tell me the broadcast came up short last night. I'm shocked. Jay Buckley, Billingsley, Vince Vaughn, and Sebastian Maniscalco did a Wild West comedy tour special many years back. Have a great holiday, guys. Oh, thank you for that. And Nemesis Enforcer, any chance that Billingsley dude is related to Barbara Billingsley of Leave It to Beaver fame? I do not know.
Yeah, direct that question to Wes Reynolds, please.
Yeah, Wes Reynolds would know.
Wes has got you.
Wes
He's
would be
promised.
Like, well, everybody knows. You know, you go, it's his thing. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. He was in attendance at SoFi last night of the Rams' victory over the Saints. So, too, was Shohei Ohtani. And all I thought to myself was, is Jason going to figure out a way to say hello? And the answer is Jason Weingarten.
I actually had a field pass yesterday before the game. Excuse my hair. Looks a little weird there.
I
had a field pass for the game, but I was stuck in traffic. I didn't get there. So the great Jason Shohei Ohtani meeting will have to take place another day.
How do you think that would have gone, Jason? Walk me through that. How would that have gone?
I would have screamed like a girl. Now, I probably would have just been like, hey, you're Shohei Ohtani. And he would have been like, yeah, and you're some dude, you know, like it would be very anticlimactic.
Would you have brought up the money he has made you? Would you have brought that up? No, no, you wouldn't have brought that up.
You
were at the game, so you didn't see this, but you know, there was Shohei in his Dodgers garb, and it was like, it was as if the Angels never existed, right? Like, it was the most dismissive thing of a franchise you'll ever see in your life. Like, here's Shohei, the great arrival in Los Angeles. And you're like, wasn't he just in Los Angeles for several years before? It's very awkward.
Anyway. Yeah, could have done this any time over the past. Could have given him a Rams jersey any time over the past 5 years. Just now he's a Dodger, so it matters.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. He was in the Rams jersey.
You guys were talking about naming shows, though. It's one of the hardest things. I have a great name for a show. If I ever do a show again, I was talking to Preston.
Yeah.
We have a great name for a show.
What, are you allowed to say it on air? Can you say it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be called Two Losers. Because then everyone could be like, I'm listening to these two losers.
Oh.
And it'd be a great name. Everyone would know it. I think it's the perfect name for a sports radio talk show.
Two losers. Bearded losers.
Yeah. I'm listening to these two losers again.
Preston, how can I put this? Not a loser. Let's just put that in life.
But,
yes.
But it's great. It's a great name.
Yeah. How's he doing, by the way? I got to talk to Preston. Is things going well with the soccer team? Is he? Has it transformed?
Yeah, you know, there's a big old game this week. I think Boxing Day is a big deal over there. So, you know, we're right around the playoff. You know, you got to be top seven to make playoffs or whatever. So we're right around like floating between 7th and 11th. It's you know, it's a slog, but going in the right direction.
Is there fear? So there's no fear of relegation to a lower league? None of that?
No. Last year, you know, it was literally coming down to the last couple of games of the season. This year, it looks more like, you know, more realistically an outside shot of a playoff, you know, appearance as opposed to chance of relegation.
For those who don't know what we're talking about, our buddy Preston Johnson, who used to be on this show all the time, but, you know, more famously, he was on Daily Wager on ESPN for a period of time. He is the owner of Crawleytown.
England League Two.
League Two. And so
bottom of the EPL pyramid, but, you know, still in the pyramid.
Still in the pyramid. And so, you know, before we get to some of your plays here, Jason.
And that's Sports Cheetah on Twitter.
Sports Cheetah.
Sports betting Twitter.
Who's been
forever,
in gambling Twitter. Thank you. Yeah, Sports Cheetah for many years. And the nicest guy in the world. And one of these guys, when success happens to, you have nothing but joy for in life. Just a great guy. And I think about the Ryan Reynolds doc, Jason, and I feel like Ryan Reynolds stole your guys' idea and story. That should have been you guys doing this.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's buying soccer teams right now. It's the super popular.
Yeah, Kelly
and I. It's the racehorse investment of this era.
Kelly and I were just going to buy one today, as a matter of fact. You're just saying that. You're like, everyone's buying
Ryan Reynolds is super famous and super cool. And, you know, I can't say anything really, like, bad about him right
now. Oh, no, he's great. Like, he's awesome. Who doesn't love Ryan Reynolds?
Jason's
They're
right,
probably going to get promoted, too. You know, it's a great story.
Wrexham.
Like, did I see J.J. Watt? Like, or the Watt brothers own a piece of a team?
Jason's
right. Everybody. I don't know. They're basically like tax write-offs or something.
Some financial advice from Jason in the next segment. All right. What did you play week 16 in the NFL beyond last night?
We hit the over last night, so padding my record as the winningest guest in recent history. Add another to the tally. I like the 12.5 with the Bills. That's a big number to lay, but what do you like with the Chargers here? I get the whole spot, you know, the coaching change and everything, but starting to lay the 12.5 here with Easton Stick does not impress me as an NFL quarterback. Besides that, a little later in the afternoon and on Monday, actually going straight to Monday, I like the Giants here. Can I interest you in the Giants money line at over 6-1 on Christmas Day? Not so much, but like I don't, you know, which favorite is coming out flat on Christmas? It's not going to be the 49ers, I don't think.
I don't think so either.
It's probably not going to be the Chiefs against the Raiders. I'm certainly not taking, you know, holding my nose with the Raiders here.
I'm not laying the points either, so I'm certainly not against
you. I'm taking the 13.5 with the Giants. I'm playing the money line smaller. Like I said, last time I was on, I like the Cowboys 1.5. I see it's moving to some ones. Other than that, my main thing is not ruining Christmas for everybody by losing all my money.
Jason,
that's my card. It's a slow weekend for me. I don't even have any college bets.
College bowl season is just a different animal now. It's just a completely different animal.
Pre Christmas bowls, like I can't even get into them. It was great. It felt like a growth moment, like a growing up moment.
Yeah.
The Old Dominion game, the crazy comeback. I had no money on it. I had no position. I was like, oh wow, you guys are sweating out a Monday morning football game, and I don't have to worry about any of this. I felt like I was growing up a little bit.
Well, I did have Western Kentucky plus 534, and it was this great bookend to a horrible beat from 9 years ago in the Bahamas Bowl with them, where I was on them and got beat. But generally speaking, I mean, I don't have a single preflop, and I remember as recently as 2 years ago, me and my Texas baseball buddies, right. Porras and the boys, we'd be at the Aria betting every single one of these games on the opening day of college football. And now, with everything that's happening, I mean, what Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey started so many years ago, now with transfer portals and like, it's just mayhem. And so, yeah, they're just from a preflop perspective. I totally get it. Is there anything random sports-wise that you have in your account right now that you have a bet on?
Not much, because there's not much going on internationally. It's all sort of quiet right now. There's no crazy golf. It's really one of my favorite times of the year because my schedule kind of quiets a little bit. I still have a whole bunch of other stuff to do. I'm actually shipping a painting to Switzerland after this today. So always crazy stuff going on.
Wait a minute. You're shipping a painting to Switzerland?
Yeah, someone in Switzerland bought one of the paintings I have, and I got to go and crack it out of the frame today and pack it and styrofoam and send it off to Switzerland.
Oh, I remember when you bought these paintings. Who's the artist again, Jason?
Wesley Willis.
Yes, Wesley Willis. Oh, okay. That's right.
So is this another post office day for you, Jason, or does this require something more?
No, I get to go to the UPS for this one.
Okay, got it.
I did get yelled at by the supervisor, though, a couple days ago.
Oh, why did you start with that?
Party deep fingernails, like asking a federal employee to do any work other than the bare minimum, man, you get yelled at.
Okay.
Oh, not the story. I'll tell you next week.
There's a tease. Thank you, Jason. Merry Christmas. Jason Weingarten, everybody. At Spreadopedia. Kelly and me with our bets next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking to bet smarter, then VSiN has the perfect holiday gift for you. Sign up on our holiday special today. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $79. Sign up today and get unlimited access to daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, 24/7 video, plus all our betting guides and best bets for all college bowl games, the Super Bowl, and March Madness. Don't miss out on this limited time holiday offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up on our holiday special now. That's vsin.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. And thank you sincerely from me and from Kelly. You are the best listeners of any show, any place ever in the history of Earth. I really believe that.
I didn't even get to tell you this off air before you get to tweets. You know, I got text messages from two different people at the Boca Bowl last night.
Del Boca Vista Bowl?
Who were with fans of the show that texted in. Just happened to piece together that, you know, me and being back there and everything. So, yeah, it's awesome when we get that kind of stuff. We love it. Happy holidays to everybody.
The best one was, I think, last week I was at a CVS and some dude rolled up on me. He's like, what are you getting? I love the show. He was super nice.
Surprise you at a CVS.
He was super nice. Awesome. I had to go, too. I was like, just try to be some polite about it. He was the greatest ever. Someone at Crystals over there in random places, too, and it's always great. But there's the listeners to the show, and all these tweets are great. X Prime. What was the Golden Boy pick this week? We don't know. He said, so I can fade it. He said, Golden Boy's the modern-day Scrooge McDuck, he said. He don't want to. Michael Burns is pointing out that somebody just sold their Brock Purdy MVP ticket for $125K on PropSwap that would win him $200,000, because it's a 2K at 100-1. So someone who has a 100-1 Brock Purdy MVP ticket just sold it for $125,000 on PropSwap.
I don't hate it, Gil. I mean, when things that aren't settled on the field.
Yeah, man, I'll take it.
Right?
Yeah, sure. Bob Petrillo, happy holidays, Gil, to you and the crew, from a longtime listener. I'm coming out the first week of NFL season next September, and I hope to stop and say hello. I'm the gentleman that went through the same experience after surgery that you did with your Achilles. Thanks. Bob, I'm glad you made it. Both of us had a massive pulmonary embolism and almost bit it after our Achilles surgery due to a blood clot. J4E, doubled down on Puka Offensive Rookie of the Year last night during the game at 12-1 and dropped to 8-1 overnight. Thanks, my guy. Let's hope we get there. And this is, okay, I won't even read that one. But yes, Jason went off on something that I was like, okay, let's move it on. And one of those employees had something to say to Jason. You have every right to say that back. I also want to thank, before we get into our picks, that Kelly and I didn't get a chance to give our picks this weekend to the NFL. I just want to thank everybody on the crew here that has come to the D. As you know, we were at the South Point for many, many years, 6.5 years. With my Mishpucha, Chrissy, and all of us were over there, not just this show, but others. And we made the transition over here to the D. And whenever you make a transition like that, it's never an easy thing from a technical standpoint. You know, Kelly and I, we just show up and we're like, hey, what's happening?
I do that every morning.
Yeah, Kelly, every morning. He's like, hey, what's happening? I'm like, okay, enough with the hey, what's happening? But everybody behind the scenes does such a great job of making this happen technically, starting with the Kenjineer, Ken, at the very top, of course, and Dez. I hope they're doing well, by the way. But for those who are specifically on this show, if not every day, more often than not, Matt Hicks, Dakota Martin, Sean McCollum, who could forget the great Sean McCollum, Reggie Edwards, Reg was just out here, Jeremy Wengel, Ryan Pineda, and of course Wyatt Tomchek. We were like, who was it that we can't think of? Who is it that we're not thinking? Oh, Wyatt, that's right.
Oh, it was Sean, I forgot. That was the big name I forgot. Sean's been with us doing the shows for...
Sean, I was trying to protect you. Sorry,
5 years. I mean, geez.
But, you know, back in the South Point days, I used to give the crew, like, I'd be like, okay, food for everybody, whatever. Here, when I try to do it at McDonald's, no one's, like, really on the same time schedule, so it doesn't really work out, or I forget, or they forget, or whatever.
We don't have our office over
or,
here.
You know what I used to do at the South Point? I used to, like, when JB was running the thing, right? I'd be like, okay, let's all go to, like, Rise and Shine and have, like, brunch after the show. And then I realized, I was like, maybe they just don't want to hang out with me, right? There was that, too. So, like, you just think about, like, what can you give the guys and the gals who were here, because Liz left, a lot of people left also. What can we give them for holiday? And so I am going to give them a futures ticket of their choice. That's what we're going to do. We're going to come up with the terms because we haven't really thought about it, right? But we're going to give the crew a bet of their choice, something into 2024, or if they want, you know, here in 2023.
Hey, but just make it a dollar amount. Let them
whatever they want. We'll give them a dollar amount. We'll go from there, and hopefully they cash big. Just a way to say thanks to all that they do.
I put it all on red and then put it on.
Don't do that. Don't Don't do what Kelly's doing.
Wouldn't that be the most insultingly awesome thing to
here
do?
Here we go. I'm giving this game a Kelly's like,
oh, Gil,
really,
thanks, man.
Oh, my gosh, you should put it on red first.
Pump it all into one machine real quick and see what happens.
Anyway, thanks, guys, for all that you do. Try not to put it all on red.
Nah, seriously. We don't, those guys never get talked about enough. Everybody that works behind the scenes at Visa, like you said, we show up and talk. And it's,
man.
That's a lot of what, that's all we do.
You just come in here looking pretty. That's all you do, man.
It's a tough job. It's a tough job.
All right. We didn't get a chance to give our picks since everybody else was giving theirs on the show. I had that 0-5 in millions a couple weeks ago, and I was right on the cusp of 60% again, and I shot myself in the foot, and I just cannot get there. I want to cash badly, so I've got an outside shot. I'll give you my five Circa Millions plays, and these are five bets that I have in my account. You will recognize three of them from guessing lines, one of which is I'm on the Dolphins, and I know it's down to one. I have the bet. I have it at -1 in my account. That's what it is right now. I don't buy into the whole narrative on the Cowboys here. As Matt Brown has said famously on this show, really the Cowboys pass rush is really generated by one human. Micah Parsons is not really a collective thing. And I think with all the notion of Dolphins having injuries up front, I don't think it's going to matter. I think Tua is going to get rid of the ball quick, and I think those Dolphins wideouts and that speed is going to overwhelm the Cowboys in this game. And I think this is the Dolphins' real big bounce back after that Tennessee debacle a couple weekends ago, which, by the way, even if they win this game, still might haunt them in terms of a playoff position, that Tennessee loss. But I like the Dolphins in this.
Who has more to prove in this game?
The Dolphins do, because they've beaten nobody. At least the Cowboys can say we beat the Eagles, and we probably should have beat them twice. But the Dolphins, I mean,
Remember,
early in the season, they had those two road wins, and we're like, oh, these are two really great wins. But it's just not, it hasn't, this is the bully bowl.
Yeah.
This is the bully bowl.
The Cowboys at least have the Eagles win.
So the Dolphins are my play. And then my other two that I gave out on guessing lines, I hate because I don't want to live through them. But I just think the numbers, and you were right, Kelly, you were the first person to say this on the show, there is no rush to play them. So I waited till late in the week. Patriots are +7 now at the Broncos, and the Raiders are +10 at the Chiefs. Do I want to live through these? No. But do I think it's just way too big of a number in both cases? I do. And so their plays, sadly, on the Patriots +7 and the Raiders +10. And then the other two to fill out the card, and I have bets on these as well. Matt Brown had both of these picks, so I was happy to hear that earlier. I'm on the Browns, -2.5 in their ballgame. As long as that's below 3, I think, you know.
I think I'll be adding that today. Yeah. I haven't bet it yet, but it's definitely – definitely the side I lean on, lean towards, and yeah, a lot of sharp guys on that side. So
Browns at the Texans, of course, that's going to be Case Keenum and not C.J. Stroud. And then tomorrow, first game, I'm on the Bengals -3. The Bengals traveling to play the Pittsburgh Steelers in again a game that the Steelers absolutely have to have, but Jake Browning has surprised us all, including myself, and so Bengals rounding out that card. That's the first of the five. Did them sort of in reverse chronological order, but there you go. What do you got?
Yeah, only don't worry, my card's even shorter. Look at this, only two this week for me.
Wow,
that I've made here so far. I do think I'm gonna add the Browns though. So Browns on here as well. I guess I'm just waiting for what absolute confirmation that C.J. Stroud isn't playing. But the Lions -3. We talked about that a little bit earlier with Matt. Like he said, I'm kind of glad to see him on that side as well, because, oh boy, is it feels like every sharp group and syndicate and everything I hear of this week with that 3.5, they've been gobbling it up with the Vikings at home. So I laid the 3. I think a lot of what Matt said, we're talking about, Goff being indoors still. It's not an outdoors game situation. We always like to make a big deal about him going on the road and this team looking different, but we're still inside. And I think that the Vikings, just the quarterback carousel that they've been going through, just establishing any consistency offensively, I think is a tough ask. And then I didn't even get a chance to bring it up with him, but he kept talking about you know, Matt kept talking about the Niners basically spotting them 30 already, yeah. and the other teams making it up. And I'm kind of like, well, that's why I bet what I bet.
Yeah.
And not didn't lay the points or bet the pure game over. I just bet the team total over.
That's one of those 49ers. Where you're just like, beat me.
Exactly. Yeah. No, exactly. It's I don't really know. I hope that's a great game, actually, the so team I can
total,
watch it.
Team total over 26.5 is what he's referring
but
to.
But, yeah, beat me on that. This 49ers offense has been so good.
And if you can, tip of the cap.
Exactly. Yep.
I will be on with Brent Musburger on Sunday, an honor to be on Brent's show before football on Sunday. By the way, the Megapod is out with Frank Schwab as our guest. Check that out on the Beating the Book pod. And Kelly and I, we're not going anywhere. We're going to be here Christmas morning.
Christmas Eve and Christmas for us. Let's go.
Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Happy holidays to all.